Let's give it a go.
Hi, it's Peter Johnson here, and I'm looking forward to interviewing Alan Richards. Alan is actually going to talk to us in some depth about how to grow your expert status in 90 days. Now, I find that incredible, expert status in 90 days. Please, Alan, just give an overall outline as to what this is all about.
Okay. Well, Peter, the way I see it, if you're working in professional services, if you're delivering professional services, whether you're a coach, whether you're a consultant, whether you're a therapist, whether you're a trainer, whether you're an NLP practitioner, you're delivering personal professional services. Mm-hmm. And you need a way to attract customers to you if you're doing that. Being perceived as an expert means that people are actually coming to you rather than you having to go to the people. Mm. So it's in your interest to be portrayed as an expert within a particular field, and then you'll get the people coming to you.
So that's why we should be an expert.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely.
Right. Yeah. Now, you talk about 90 days. Now, we've obviously got a journey to go through here. Could you outline some of the key steps in connection with that?
Absolutely. Now, one thing I will say before we start, it's now possible to do that, I believe, within 90 days, because you can leverage a number of the technologies that are available now that weren't available 10, 12 years ago.
Brilliant.
So you can leverage the internet, you can leverage personal data recording devices, one of which we're using now that simply didn't exist a number of years ago. And these are increasingly affordable and accessible to everybody out there. So I'm going to take people through what they can do in various different areas.
That would be very useful. Great. So what is an expert?
Well, an expert is somebody who's got skills, knowledge and experience within a specific narrow field. And I say narrow field because, let's be honest, unless you're Leonardo da Vinci, you haven't really seriously got expertise in more than one or two or maximum three fields. Leonardo da Vinci was a Renaissance painter, he was a scientist, he was a researcher, Renaissance, the archetypal Renaissance man. Typically people aren't like that anymore, but you can have specific in-depth knowledge in a narrow area, and if you have that, you can be highly sought after by your clients.
That is great. Yeah. So you maintain it's necessary for to be an expert and have a niche particularly. Firstly, explain what a niche is, a real niche, and why is it important to be an expert in this field?
Well, a niche is simply a small part of a much larger market. So, for example, a mass market might be a market for people who buy washing liquid or washing powder for their clothes. That would be a typical mass market product. Mm. Now, when you're talking about a niche, you're talking about a very, very narrow area. For example, if I tell you what my niche is, I provide services to coaches to improve their marketing. Mm-hmm. So it's specifically for coaches, although a lot of this stuff works for other professional service providers as well. But I concentrate on coaches who want to find their own niche, funnily enough, and then leverage that by understanding what marketing can give them and allow them to bring in more business. So that's my niche. And when anybody specializes in a niche like that, you can quickly get far more credibility and authority because of what you know and what you're able to deliver to your target market.
Hmm. So you've been working with coaches specifically on this for quite some while, by the sounds of things.
For quite a while. It also helps if you're a member of the particular niche that you're serving. And for example, I've been a coach now probably for about 10 or 12 years since coaching, at least in the UK, was in its infancy. So I've been a coach. I know what the typical problems and challenges that coaches come across. And that makes me much more able to deliver things of value to my target market, who are coaches. Mm. Now, am I saying you have to be a member of a particular niche to deliver to them? Well, not necessarily, but goodness me, it helps, because you've been there, you've had practical experience of the problems, and you can, for the members of the target market, you can quickly sift the wheat from the chaff. You can give them stuff that's really relevant and valuable to them.
Yeah, so this being an expert in the field, that is the why issue, by the sounds of things.
Absolutely, that's the critical thing. It's you being an expert is absolutely critical because it gives you authority, because it gives you credibility, And when you put those two things together, that's like an attractive force attracting clients into you, because they want to benefit from your knowledge and experience. And let's distinguish between one thing here. When you're seeking out an expert, what you want is somebody who's got practical experience of the field that you're looking for. There's many people out there who are in academia who write books on things, and the people within that who've done research can have some credibility. But what you really want is people who've actually done what you're looking for. So you actually want to follow practitioners who've made the mistakes, they've seen what the problems are, they can share those, and they can help you avoid those mistakes.
Right. So they're really being bruised and battered a little bit on this journey of life.
Absolutely. Yeah. They usually are. Yes.
Yeah. And in some ways, it is where we find that real value of people who actually have made the mistakes that we can avoid by listening to them.
Indeed.
Mm. How do you know what your niche should be as an expert?
Well, I help people do this, and I think there's two parts of it. One, you need to look inside yourself as to what resources you bring to the party. And you also need to look at what the market out there is demanding. So if we look at the within yourself part first, have a look at what your skills, knowledge, and expertise are. And, you know, go right back to your teenage years and find out, you know, what were you good at? What were you good at in your first job? What were your responsibilities in your first job, in your second job? What skills did you gain? What skills have you gained in work? What skills have you gained outside work? Mm-hmm. A good test is to ask people, is to look at what people ask you about all the time. Are there people who come to you because you've developed a particular skill in a particular area or particular knowledge or you're particularly experienced? They say, well, how do you do this? If there's a pattern of people coming to you to ask you those particular things, that's what you should specialise in.
Even though it may not be what you're doing as a job.
Exactly. It may be parallel to that. What you might find is that you might have some transferable skills from your job to take to another domain. That may be your job as well, but it may not be. But the key things are the skills, knowledge, and experience. And look broadly with that. Don't just write the obvious things down. And, you know, when in doubt, ask your friends. Ask your colleagues, ask your partner. They'll know what you're good at and what you're not good at.
I get the feeling that because you've been doing this for quite some while, you may well have some hidden material on this, which you may wish to share with the listeners.
Indeed, I have. I've got a resource on the internet. If people go to www.nichecourse.co.uk, nichecourse.co.uk, and that's an autoresponder delivered course that's completely free that will allow you to discover what niche is right for you. And it takes you through in a bit more detail what I've just covered in terms of your skills, knowledge, and experience. Mm-hmm. It also looks at what you're motivated by, what you're passionate about, because you've got to have that to drive forward and stick to a particular area. So you need that. And then it also looks at a part we haven't covered yet, and that's looking at where the demand in the marketplace is. So that's where there's activity in the marketplace. You know, are there magazines covering the topic that you're thinking of specialising in? Are there books published on it? Is there a lot of internet activity on it? It's that kind of thing. If you go into a bookshop, is there a lot of book space in a large bookshop dedicated to your area? If there is a demand. So it's looking at all of those things.
Yeah, and that resource is free, you say?
That resource is free, indeed.
Excellent. That sounds like a good opportunity. You're going to have a little look at that. Why should you have give public presentations though?
Well, I think there's a number of things that anybody who wants to be perceived as an expert, as a credible expert, needs to be doing. One is giving presentations. The first one is giving public presentations, and I'll explain why that's very powerful. Another one is doing research to build your credibility to understand what your domain knowledge is. Another one is writing articles and special reports. Moving on from that, writing a book, delivering teleseminars, but there's more. But you asked me specifically about presentations. Now let's just look at that at the moment. Why should people give presentations? Well, the fact is, for various reasons, the ability to give a relevant, concise, and valuable presentation is perceived as a very high value activity. People who give, who present in public and do that effectively, are perceived as being smarter, more intelligent. They are perceived to be earning more. They're perceived to be far more effective in their role. So for all of those things, if you want some of that to rub off on you, then give presentations, be seen to deliver presentations, obviously work on your presentation skills, but when you're actually doing that, you'll deliver enormous value to the people who are coming to see you.
Does the presentation side thing give you what is called authority or something as well?
Absolutely, absolutely. If you can be introduced as an authority on a subject, and you then stand up and deliver on that subject for, let's say, 20 minutes, half an hour, maybe even an hour, you're doing part of the convincing that you're an authority has already been done by the fact that you're standing up in front of these people. If you can then deliver your message coherently and then answer questions on it, that all adds up to forming an opinion of you as the recognised expert in that field.
That's fascinating. Where would you give these presentations?
Well, the best thing to do is find out. We spoke a little moment ago about finding out who your target market are, who your niche are. The key thing to do if you want a ready market is find out where your niche meets presently. So where do they meet? We can talk about where they meet online, but where do they meet offline? Now, in any large metropolitan area like London, like Birmingham, Glasgow, Manchester, Edinburgh, you'll find that there are special interest groups and associations that people typically meet in the evenings. They're sort of networking groups. Now, for example, for my niche, coaching, there are several groups within London who meet on a regular basis, who are associated with the various different coaching associations. They meet either monthly or fortnightly, depending on the group. And regularly, the format of the group is that they'll have some admin stuff, announcements, and all the rest of that. But then they'll have a speaker, and the speaker will be delivering on a topic of interest to the coaches. So what you've got there, instead of having, let's say, I wanted to establish my credibility as a speaker. Instead of me booking a room and then trying to attract people to come to that, if I associate myself with that association, I get recognised and I get perceived as being valuable, then the likelihood is that if I really have got something interesting to say, I may get invited to speak at that group. Then I've got a ready-made audience who want to hear my message, and that's perfect.
Right. So the very first thing is really find out what your niche is. Identify the groups that are in the locality of where you may live initially, and maybe nationwide, certainly, but certainly at a local level, and then try and get yourself on the speaker's rostrum with them.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely.
Rather than be invited, can you actually go and ask, or is that a bit cheeky?
No, I don't think that's cheeky at all, and I would always give first before you take. So I would always look to, if you're being involved with an organisation, I mean, join the organisation, obviously, and then ask if you can help out with things. Can you help out with the administration? Can you help out with the room bookings? Can you help out with anything, really? You might want to consider getting yourself at least put up for election to a committee post. Get involved and start contributing to that association. And then you'll be a natural to be asked to talk.
Excellent. Just a quick point from my side. Quite often one hears of speakers, and you always hear expensive after-dinner speakers. Am I assuming that at the start-up level of this, that you may even have to pay to speak, or is it something you do for free, or do you get paid for it?
It's unlikely that you'd get paid for gigs like this, but that's not your short-term payment, which wouldn't be very much anyway until you build your reputation as a speaker, would not be significant. What you're doing this for is to build awareness, build credibility, and build your list. Because you can always, when you've given a presentation, you can always say, I've got a free report that will tell you more about the area I've been speaking about. Would anybody like to have that? If so, could you put your name and email address on the card that's coming around? I'll get those out to you this week.
Excellent. That's a very valuable way of actually starting to build your business, but also get some really good, solid experience in public speaking. Really, really useful. Why should you niche yourself, though, or niche yourself. And we've actually talked about the niching to some extent, but I know a few minutes ago you mentioned about presentations, but also articles and a range of other things. So could you just explain a little bit about niching in beyond just the speaking side of things on presentations?
Yes, absolutely. I think it's important to note that your niche spreads out through all of these areas. So you're looking at giving presentations, you're looking at writing articles, maybe putting those articles together for an ebook. Mm. You're looking to perhaps run teleseminars. You're looking for all of these things to support each other. Mm-hmm. And all of those are all concentrated on the fact that you're addressing this one market.
Yeah.
So why should you write when you're working in a particular niche and setting yourself up as an expert in that niche? Why should you write articles? Well, I think it's a lot easier now than it was a few years ago. If you look at the proliferation now of article directories on the internet, and there's just a huge number of them, and there's a small number that are very well respected and have high volumes of traffic. So what you can do now, if you spend, let's say, half an hour certainly less than an hour writing an article that's relevant to your niche, delivers value in and of itself. It's not just telling you why you want to do something, but it's actually delivering some content that's of value. Then you'll find that will on the high volume article directories, you'll find that will get traffic. It will get read, and when you write your article, you put a little signature box at the end which says, you know, Alan Richards helps coaches with their marketing. To get my free Discover Your Coaching Niche mini course, go to www.nichecourse.co.uk. So you put that at the bottom of your article. Mm. People, if they've liked what they've read, will click on that. And they're going to start developing a relationship with you.
That sounds a fantastic way of getting your name into the headlines, as it were. Just go back across actually how you get them on the internet, because some of our listeners certainly may not be quite as techno savvy as some others. So how does it happen?
Well, it's really straightforward. First of all, you write an article, and you might want to do that in Microsoft Word, for example, just as normal. For a typical article directory, you're not looking at many words. Some of them accept articles as little as 250 words, although realistically you want to be writing about 500 or 500 to 700 for it to be a sensible sized article. Those can be knocked out very quickly when you know how to do that. So you write it in Word. Then you go online. You have to sign up to these various different article directories. The vast majority of them are free. Some of them are paid. The vast majority are free. The highest traffic one currently, and the most professionally run one, in my opinion, is ezinarticles.com, www.ezinearticles.com. Absolutely terrific. They review every article, so you can post it, but it doesn't get posted to their actual website until it's been reviewed, and they've got certain criteria for the articles. But that is... because people know about easing articles, you're guaranteed almost to have your article read. And if it's read and it's liked, then, you know, again, people will click on it. So it's very, very, very easy. Each of these article directories explains how you post articles. Each one has got their own little quirks. But typically, you go to the website, you sign up, you get a username and a password, you submit an article. Usually, then they want to... they want to make sure it's fit for purpose, it's not defamatory and all the rest of that stuff. And when they're happy with it, they'll send you an email saying it's been posted.
That's an excellent piece of news. Thank you. An absolute jewel of information for everyone there. Once you've got an article posted, though, what else do you do?
Well, one of the great things I think about articles is you can actually repurpose them. So let's say I've written 5 or 6 articles on niching. Mm-hmm. Various aspects of niching. So how do you find your niche? Once you found your niche, what do you do with it? How do you reach your market? How do you research your market? How do you find out what they want? So what you could do, for example, 5 or 6 articles, put those together, you've got an ebook. And if you put, say, 10, 12, 15 articles together of that sort of length, of the typical sort of length that you would have in an article directory, bingo, you've got an actual book. And it is so easy now, these days, to use publishing on demand. Websites like Lulu where you just upload this particular format they want, but you upload your your set of articles, your book effectively, and you can have that back in your hands, minimum print run of one. You can have that in your hands within about a month.
That
and
is awesome.
The quality is just stunning.
And who is that again?
Oh, that's lulu.com. They're one of the print-on-demand websites.
That is an easy name to remember as well. Fascinating. It's really leveraging the information that you're putting together for a range of purposes. Absolutely superb.
Absolutely.
Idea.
And then what you can do, of course, once you've got a book, is you just carry books around with you, especially when you're doing presentations. Mm. It's much better than a business card. You've got the book, and you can sell it, you can give it away. If you're working with corporate clients, and you're coaching corporate clients, you give the book away, because it adds to your perceived value, your credibility, your authority. Mm. Otherwise, sell it.
Excellent. Just before we get towards the end of the interview, but earlier you mentioned about research. I just made a little note of that, and it's just sort of sitting in the back of my mind. Why should we carry out research?
Well, I think this is the basis of your being an expert. And that's why I believe that ongoing research into your topic area, your subject area, is absolutely essential. And there's two types of research, really. One is you're deepening your existing knowledge of your topic area that you will then dip into and you can use for products, producing products, you can use it for consultations, etc. So that's maintenance of the knowledge in your specific area.
Yeah.
But also there's another type of research, and that's finding out what your target market actually want from you.
Hmm.
So you've defined what your niche is, you've got a topic area within that. There may be things that I think that my clients ought to know, and I could create products for them. But rather than doing that, what I could do is ask them what they want specifically. You know, what do you want? What format do you want? You know, what do you want to know about? So, you know, do you want to know about how to do referrals? Do you want to know how to do testimonials? Do you want to know how to get business through writing articles, etc.? What do people want to know about? And simply to do that, it's really difficult. You know, you just ask them. You just ask them, and funnily enough, they generally tell you. Now, it does help if you bribe them a little bit with an ethical bribe, give them something of value to them to help you to get the information. But it's getting increasingly easy. You don't have to sit on the end of a telephone for 5 days and phone people up and get all the questions. You can put surveys online with things like surveymonkey.com. You can use askdatabase.com, both of which I use and both of which I get great results from. So you find out, just to summarize that area, you find out exactly what your target market want. And then, of course, the next step is you deliver what they want, because they've just told you they want it. So you produce a product or a service to meet that need.
And because you're an expert in that field, after 90 days, you've got it made.
Absolutely.
That sounds fascinating, Alan. Thank you so much for a very comprehensive explanation of this. Really, very useful. Have you got any final comments you'd like to make at the end of this interview?
I think if people want to discover their own niche and start this whole process off, if they go to www.nichecourse.co.uk, and I'll guide them through defining their niche. Once they have that, then I can help them with any of the other areas that we've talked about.
Excellent. Thank you, Alan. Really interesting.
Thank you, Peter.